Our life is not about us, not about ourself. And yet, in all sorts of ways, we insist often that it is. All sorts of ways of defining ourselves: physical, mental, emotional, thoughts, right, wrong, judgments, and so forth. It's very simple that that's the problem. And though we might agree with that, it's very difficult because it seems so natural to us to, if I say it, go to that default position. About me. In a way, this is what I talked about last night. Though our practice is simple and straightforward, being just this moment, as soon as this moment is defined in terms of our self and not self, I don't mean defined theoretically, but I mean in our body, mind, emotion, thought, reactions, and all the other ways we can talk about it. Then we carry the self forward and encounter the universe, to paraphrase Dogen, and then we get all sorts of difficulties, delusions that multiply over and over. Our life as it is the truth, is the way, is the whole universe, or if I quote Matsu, some of you might be familiar with Matsu, or Basso as his name is pronounced in Sino-Japanese, truth is not something that is in need to be cultivated, meaning the truth of your life, the ability, capacity, being the truth of your life is not something that any of us need to cultivate, because we can't be other than that. It's just that you must not defile it. Defile what? Defile this moment that we are. It's easy to notice if we hear the birds singing or the sound of the traffic, most of the time we just hear that sound. We just are the sound. Are the universe sounding, speaking. And yet, if That sound was the words of people that we know, or even people that we don't know, saying things that we agree with or disagree with. All of a sudden, we find ourselves entangled in agreeing, disagreeing, correcting, being troubled by. Of course, we can be troubled by birds and troubled by traffic too. Or trouble ourselves about it. Or trouble others about it. That's what Mahatsu is referring to as defiling. He says, defiling is the tendency of the mind preoccupied by life and death, continuously making up things. By that, it is defiled. It means, when he says mind, he means whole mind, body, being. See, there's of course a difficulty. Remember, he's 7th century or 8th century, and in a very different culture, using a very different language. When we use some of these words in English, we bring along a dualism, all sorts of other ideas and preconceptions about body-mind, body-mind-soul, self-world, and so on and so forth, without even knowing that we carry those along, except that we live out of those. If you want to straightforwardly understand the way, truth, then you should understand that it is your regular mind. What is meant by regular mind? It does not make up things, is without assenting and dissenting, accepting and rejecting, without considering anything as either impermanent or permanent, without discriminating between ordinary and sacred, or any other sets of discriminations that we get caught up in. See. Of course, his expressions aren't all inclusive, but he's encouraging us to allow ourselves to be this, if you want to say mind, body, world, or if you just want to say mind and include all of those, that's our regular function. Not something special that requires special abilities. Just your responding to all beings right now is the entirety of the way, the truth. Way and truth are, what should I say, both English translations of this, the Japanese word he's using. And if I say it a little differently, his teacher, Nanyue, in Chinese and Nangaku in Japanese, says it is the Dharma eye of the mind ground that sees the way, truth. In other words, the mind ground is the ground of your very being. It's the way that you function from morning to night. That's what sees the truth. So turning from the agreeing, disagreeing, and all the other forms of self that we impose, turning from that back to the very ground of the regular functioning, or being just this moment, allows us to see or awaken to this very way, truth that is functioning as our life. It's nothing else. Our life is nothing else but that. The way truth itself is the Dharma Dhatu, the Dharma world, the world that we are. None of its numberless excellent manifestations goes beyond the Dharma Dhatu. Were it not so, how could we speak of the teaching of mind ground, or how could we speak of inexhaustible light? Sometimes we say that sitting practice involves turning the light on itself, or if we could say it, being the mind ground that is the light, and turning that very light to see who, what we are, not by figuring it out, but by allowing ourselves to be awakened in the midst of our ordinary functioning, or our ordinary mind, body. See, it's only when we add on the flavors of self in all the many forms, not consciously most of the time, it's we do it just out of the habits of cause and effect, if I say it that way. But I don't have to say it that way. It's simply being just this moment, and then seeing skillfully, appropriately, what's called for, if anything. If we're sitting upright, there might be nothing called for to be just sitting. Or there might be something called for, depending upon your particular practice and your particular body-mind world that appears. That's part of what we talk about individually, and that's part of what we clarify as we settle into allowing the world to reveal us, allowing the world to encounter this moment, and allowing ourselves to be this moment encountering, awakening. In a way, this is what I've been talking about for the past few weeks, in terms of not to. But it's a slightly different take on it. I'll come back to that maybe in the next days. Okay, I want to give us the opportunity to discuss and explore some of what I said. And since I also want to, or I've been encouraged to limit session Dharma talks to an hour or less, I am going to stop speaking now and see whether we could clarify this together. let me just finish up just briefly and then I'll let you talk. Since I cited Nangaku, or Nanyue, who is Ma Tzu's teacher, let me just end with a brief dialogue. Ma Tzu asks his teacher, can this seeing, the seeing of the Dharma eye that sees the truth, be attained by becoming something or losing something? See, this is for all of us, he's asking this. Is there something you need to become, or is there something you need to lose? The Nangaku said, if the way is seen in terms of becoming or losing, in terms of putting together or dispersing, it is not truly seeing, being the way, the truth. There isn't anything else that's needed right this moment. So, okay. Yes, dive in.
Like you said, this comes out of a very different time and culture, mm-hmm. in terms of what's happening. But even in this moment, I think most people would consider what we are doing as something kind of special, trying to sit perfectly still for extended periods of time, over days, and then to allow that kind of simple, focused awareness, all of that seems kind of like, at least in a contemporary sense, that all seems like extraordinary even in terms of trying to do, just participating. Now, I understand that you don't accomplish anything, but there is a discipline that's called for, which I think is, I'm asking, it seems, or doesn't it seem like, while in that context and in that culture, and I'm assuming he's in a monastery also, you know, yeah, but here, to ask ordinary individuals to take, you know, to participate in what I think is a relatively extraordinary event, sesshin, doesn't it flip it all around?
What you're saying is that the ways that we have of entangling ourselves are more complicated in modern days. Maybe that's so, but he's pointing out the difficulty that humans had. Doesn't make a difference where the culture is, when the culture is, because this is a tendency we humans have. As soon as we hold self, as soon as we carry the self forward in terms of all of our activities, and we do it, it's part of being human, and it's neither good nor bad, except that it defiles our life. And by defiles he means it creates stress and suffering and harm of all sorts. How we do it, sure, it's different if you're riding a horse or you're riding a motorcycle or you're riding a car or you're flying a plane, but fundamentally they're all the same. It's different in different languages and different cultures, and some things generate more self-addiction, if I use it that way. So, for instance, if you let me make an extreme example, it's one thing if you're like to go and have a coffee every morning. It's something different if you want to go and shoot up heroin every morning. The entanglements involved are different, and the consequences body mind are different, and the consequences in terms of harm and suffering are different. Nevertheless, so sure, everything, things are different, but the fundamental point is about what we do in various ways each moment to entangle and defile this truth, this regular mind life functioning that we are, and what we do in our encounters that result in harm and stress. Even to add labels like perfect gets us in trouble.
He made a point. I don't know. I don't remember if I read it. Oh, I didn't. Maybe I did. Without discriminating between ordinary and sacred, the bodhisattva's practice is neither the practice of the common person nor the practice of the saint. This is his words, citing a earlier scriptures sutra. And that's really what our practice is. Being ordinary, being everyday, and yet forgetting self in all the different ways, just in ordinary things. Every one of us eats and drinks, and yet we have the choice of forgetting self in the midst of that, or getting caught up in self in the midst of that. Every one of us uses the bathroom, dresses, washes, and yet we can be just this moment, be awakened, be the Dharma eye of the mind ground of washing, pissing, shitting, and therefore manifest the truth and see the truth. In that, or we could miss it. Since I mentioned that, one of my teachers' teacher Soen Roshi's teacher was Genpo Yamamoto Roshi. Genpo Roshi was let us say he had eye problems and very poor eyesight, and he was as part of his practice, he at a certain point he did a pilgrimage in Japan, going from temple to temple. This was when he was, what should I say, a matured Dharma student. So he was at the side of the road and he was pissing into a pond, or maybe not, maybe just into the ground, and all of a sudden at the sight, smell, sound of the bubbling urine, he had a great awakening. Ordinary activity, since I mentioned that. So, okay. I've said this many times. I quoted Soen Roshi, and I quote it because I want to encourage you to make use of it. He says the most important sitting is when you're shitting. I don't say it to be scatological, but to point out that it's in our everyday activities that we have the opportunity of being just this moment. Dogen approached it by making extensive rules for those living in the monastery so that every activity could be supported, encouraged, reminded that this is practice. But Matsu says it.
Just
to understand the truth, simply understand that it is your regular mind ground functioning. And the Dharma eye of the mind ground is the light, as he put it, the inexhaustible light. Okay. Yes.
So, Dogen, Matsu, Shōen Roshi, 7th century, this is all mind, this is all self-arising.
It's all what?
Self-arising. That is self-arising. And if you don't see it as self-arising, is how you get entangled. It's history. History is self-arising. Nothing else. That's all it is.
What do you mean by self-arising?
There's no history outside of self-arising. Things in the past. Who said something in the past?
No.
The 7th century, the current time, is all time and space that, right? I'm not criticizing it, but it arises with self. And if you don't see self arising in these Dharma talks, that's where the arguments start.
How is it? What do you mean by self arising? I don't understand.
I'm here, they're back there. Is a perfect example. We think it's fine, it's how our minds work, that Dogen is in the past, in the 7th century, in a different culture, someplace else, other than where we are. And if we're not wise to that, then we get into, you know, historical arguments, we get into arguments about words, we get into arguments about what somebody meant if we're not careful. And then we miss we miss you talking and our response to you talking.
Dogen, Soen aren't history. They're right now.
Right.
Right now
literally,
is
right now.
That's right. And they're not separate. Our hearing someone isn't separate from us. Except if we insist on, I am in this skin bag. Skin bag, bone bag. If I insist this is where I am, then we get in trouble. If I insist I hear things from outside and that what I hear is separate from me and there's some little me somewhere, I'm in trouble. And from our earliest years, we've been inculcated with that. But it doesn't mean that if I need to take a shit, I can't ask you to go to the bathroom for me. It doesn't. That's not skillful and appropriate. It isn't. See, I pick that most basic.
You love this today, don't you?
It came up. See, it's most basic is that that's why I use the expression not to. That doesn't mean that I am the one who has to speak right now. I'm the one who has to eat my food. And yet, if I hold on to that, if I think that self is solid, fixed, permanent, then we miss the fundamental, if I use the word emptiness, that manifests as this that we are. See, the more words we use, the more easy it is to get caught up in them and believe them, which is why, though we are having a Dharma talk and discussion here, most of what we do in session, in practice, isn't about reading talking, remembering these words. I've said this many times, and I say it now. No need to hold on to any of the words that I've said, or any of the words that any of the ancestors said, or anything you've read anywhere. That's not what's necessary. Simply be ordinary functioning. That's ordinary mind.
Which includes just reading.
That's right.
Just reading is no less, or just listening to you talk is no less important than just washing the dishes.
Okay. And it's not going to be privileged as we tend to privilege it in our mind, in our thinking, just like we privilege and hold on to certain reactions when someone says something that hurts me, or when I want something and don't get it, or when I fear that I'm going to lose. And see, this is what Matsu was saying. It is the tendency of the mind, body, self, preoccupied with life and death, continuously making up things that defiles us. There isn't anything we could do about what making up occurs, but there is something what we can do when we notice the making up, to turn that so that we don't entangle ourselves with it, and worse, entangle others, because we do. See, that's why, in one sense, it's noticing what we're making up. And if I say it, being the practice, being the wisdom that we are, that has the capacity to see what to do right now, so that right now, whatever's called for, we can do to the extent that we can. But we don't have to get anything else. We don't have to get rid of anything. We don't even have to get rid of those thoughts arising. They go of themselves. They really do. And all of us know that. If we sit still and we don't feed them, the feelings, thoughts, body aches and pains even, come and go of themselves. But it means having the capacity to stay with it despite our wanting to do something with it, to be present when it hurts, when we want to think about something else, when we want to mind chatter about our chatter. It just seems so natural. See, this is what you're saying. It seems so natural to mind chatter. And now, not only do we get to mind chatter, but we get to text and plan our texts and recapitulate and then see who's twittering what and what photo to send. And you can go on and on with all the various ways. But you know what? Those are just technologies that all the more feed our self-centeredness. Let's say it differently. They entice our self-centeredness. And there's nothing wrong with those technologies. We use a technology to put out Dharma talks and to do all sorts of other things. But if we become attached to the technologies, that's just another form of self-centeredness that poisons us. See, that's the point that defiles us. And yet, none of us are defiled. We just defile this moment. This moment. And then we get to see what this moment appears as. See, so the reason I brought this up last night was to encourage us to, on the one hand, be simple, ordinary functioning in session, and of course after session, and on the other hand, to notice where we slip selfness, carry the self forward. Into all, even our sitting activities, even our sesshin activities. Just notice it. It's not, there's no guilt, no blame. But if where we're at is about self aggrandizement, if I use a big word, then we all know what happens. So despite the fact that it seems strange, what we're doing is very ordinary. It's what people have always done. They've sat, they've stood, they've walked, they've eaten, they've cleaned up, they've slept and done other things. That's our capacity. Yes.
I guess listening to this, it's made me aware of how during Sesshin, when it's time for the Dharma talk, I usually look forward to it because what I don't notice is that I'm believing that Dharma talk is break, right? I don't have to pay so much attention to everything because I'm going to sit here and, you know, get some kind of understanding or some kind of answers. You know, there's something that I'm going to get that is different from just when we're not having the Dharma talk and just breathing, hearing. And so that, I think, maybe it was the first quote, the one that you read about, the, I don't know how it goes, the mind making something up or making something. Mm-hmm. You know, that that habit is there with Dharma talks.
Yeah.
This is, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's
yeah.
something to be made here.
Even when we are being sitting, we could make things up about our sitting. But it's, you're right, it's the mind preoccupied with life making up things, or life and death continuously making up things, or making up self. It's just a habit that feeds itself, in a sense. It's a cycle. It generates, self generates, self making up, generates more self making up, and it's letting that run and yet being, if I use the word, bigger container of the present moment, of the present moment, body, mind, world, and, or to use the fancy word, the Dharma eye of the mind ground. The mind ground is this very body, mind, world moment that we are. Don't have to figure out, it's just words that we're using to turn us back, if I say it in such a way, to this inexhaustible light that is the functioning of our life. It's the functioning of the universe that we are, whether it's in sesshin or not in sesshin, whether someone is practicing so-called or not practicing, whether we know it or not. And yet it's only in not entangling and defiling ourselves that we get to be who we are. Even though we are who we are, we miss it in the defilements, or the defilements become. And again, the defilement is the English word that's translated, but don't add on what should I say, judgment and evaluation as bad, good. It's simply, if I drop this stick, it falls. It's not neither bad nor good that it falls when I drop it. It's not, except it has consequences. Instead of it being up here, it's down here. And if it's, this stick was the top of this cup, then it might shatter when I dropped it. Children.
So that word defilement is kind of a loaded word that maybe doesn't quite translate correctly the intention of the author or the writer there.
No, we load it. There is that intention to say that, look, you're defiling your life. Don't do it. It has negative consequences. It has consequences of harm and suffering. But we add on a heavier load onto it. If you don't think suffering has a negative connotation, I don't know what to say. You can use the word stress if you want, but still, if you want to use the word dissatisfaction, fine. But we all know what comes and the various forms that it comes in. So, yes. Mud isn't bad, but when you've got a lot of mud on your clothes, you tend to want to get it off the clothes because you want your clothes clean, or you don't want the mud smelling it up or whatever. So, in that sense, defile. In the sense that if you cover your eyes, it's not bad, except if you try to walk around and figure out what to do and how to get things to your mouth with your eyes covered and so on and so forth, you end up having trouble. And if you try to interact with people, but you've covered your eyes so you can't see them or hear them or know what they are about, you might end up hurting them. And they might end up hurting you because you've got your eyes covered and your ears covered with your, quote, self-centeredness or defilements, whatever word you use. You have to use a word, so use it. But don't get stuck with it. Defiling is what we do. It seems natural and simple, and there's no blame involved, and most of us aren't even aware that we're doing it. If we've practiced, we notice how we go into a public transportation or drive down the road, and we notice the comments we make about how others are driving, looking, dressing, doing, not doing. All of a sudden, judgmental mind for most of us just pops up by itself. And if we add agreement to it, to that mind chatter, then there.
That's the filing?
Yeah. We do it to ourselves as well. We can sit silently and defile ourselves over and over. We take these Buddhas and start calling them names. Because they did do this, they didn't do that, they forgot this, they should have known that, and so on and so forth. We all know the various flavors. And our opportunity is to see what's skillful to do. But we have to do it, so he can't do it for us. We see the we see what the results are in our own functioning as we sit, as we're present, as we don't hold on to the mind chattering comments and simply allow them to pass, arise and pass, as we enter into this present moment. The sunlight, the car sounds, the air temperature, the solidity of the floor, the throbbing of our blood, the aches of muscles, the birds singing. It's all our life this moment. So please continue practice and continue enjoying being the joyousness of sitting, practicing together, being our life. Thank you.
Copyright Elihu Genmyo Smith.